Amen. Thank you, Dan, for leading us and for sharing your heart with us this morning. We want to move into a time of looking into the Word of God together, and so I invite you to open the Bible to 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 1. And as we would do that, the children from kindergarten to sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. But I invite you to remain standing if you are able, just in honor of the reading of the Word of God, as we welcome and cry out for the presence of Jesus and His Spirit, that He would speak to us and lead us into a time of continued ministry from Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him, we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is God's word for us. Thank you for remaining standing. You may be seated. So thank you for engaging this morning in worship. There is something about our hearts in tender places before the Lord. He is near to the brokenhearted. He is near to us in our weakness. He knows that we are but dust, and He draws near to us. So thank you to Dan for leading us, and thank you, church family, for engaging in that time of worship together. I've shared over the past two Sundays, specifically the first Sunday back from sabbatical, that I'd be sharing some things that the Lord did and spoke to me during my time this summer on sabbatical. And so this morning, I want to start a series on the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll have some breaks along the way as we come to Christmas. We're going to do some stuff on Fourfold Gospel with Derek after the Christmas holiday, and we'll make our way through the book of 2 Corinthians. But this focus from the book of 2 Corinthians on beholding Jesus. Sometimes it's hard for us to behold Jesus because our soul is downcast. We're beat up. We're carrying weight. We're heavy, and so our eyes have a hard time fixing on and beholding Christ. And it's in those times that we need the comfort of Jesus in a profound way. One of my stated goals that I gave to leadership and to our district leaders for my sabbatical was to be able to grieve and to find healing from wounds that just naturally occur over 22 years of ministry. And it's not just in ministry, it's in all areas of life for each one of us. We would all benefit well from acknowledging the fact that we go through things in our lives that wound us, that hurt us. And so one of my stated goals was to grieve and to find healing from the wounds incurred during these last 22 years. Began my time on sabbatical by going to the mountains of Tennessee for a 6-day prayer retreat, out where there was no cell phone coverage. I found out that during that time that you have the option on a cell phone to connect to a satellite. And I thought, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of going to a place where there is no cell phone coverage. So I just denied that. I mean, I was out there in the beauty of God's creation. But as I drove to Tennessee, those 8-9 hours of driving, to begin that time, I listened to a book on the tenderness of Jesus, on the compassion of Jesus, on the healing of Jesus. And it was interesting, as I'm winding through the mountains, down through West Virginia, and then all the way down into Tennessee, all those spaces, the Lord began to bring to mind specific instances where wounding occurred. I could see them in my mind's eye, so to speak. You know how you can close your eyes sometimes and you're taken to a place, you could see that event happening. And the Lord took me to a number of different places. And as he took me to those places, reminding me that the fact that Jesus is tender and Jesus is compassionate and Jesus is a comforter, he helped me to see this belief that was building in my soul and in my mind, that I had this feeling that I was not safe and that I was alone. And after those 8 hours or 9 hours of driving and arriving in Tennessee, I arrived at the cabin that I was going to be staying in for the next 5 nights. And I took all my stuff from the car in, load by load, and brought it all in. And I just thought, I need to go for a walk because I've been sitting in this car driving and I just need to get out and move. So I'd taken my shoes off to be able to load everything in the cabin. And so I sat down on a chair, got my first shoe, tied it up. And all of a sudden, all of those feelings, all of that rawness that I was encountering as I was driving those 8 hours just began to well up, and I just began to weep. And I recognized in that moment, I'm not going on a walk. So I took that shoe off and just began to sit in the presence of Jesus. And over those next 5 days and then the 6-day driving back, the Lord met me. The Lord met me with his comfort in a profound way, not just in my head, but in my soul. And friends, life is full of pain, isn't it? It's full of hardship. It's full of difficulty. Sometimes it's from ministry. Sometimes it's just from the brokenness of this world, the conflicts that we live with. But we live in a world that is filled with pain. And because we live in a world that is filled with pain, we have this desperate need for comfort. I believe that our culture is obsessed with the pursuit of comfort. You know, we have food that falls in that category, right? We have comfort food. We have clothes that are built around. There's a brand named Comfort. But at the end of a long day, what do you want to put on in a cold day? You want to put on some comfortable clothes, right? And get under a nice warm blanket in the middle of winter. You want to be able to find comfort. The entertainment that we consume and the leisure that we pursue are all aimed at finding comfort. Comfort is this constant pursuit. But I believe the scriptures will lead us to this understanding that comfort, true and lasting comfort, can only be found in one place, and that is in the Lord. He is our hiding place. He is our comfort. And so this morning, invite us to find comfort in God. As we kick off this series in the book of 2 Corinthians, we come to the God of all comfort. Three thoughts. I want to look at the need for comfort, the means of comfort, and the purpose of comfort this morning. First, sermon notes are in your bulletin. You can fill in some more stuff, but I want to look at the need for comfort. The need for comfort. In Paul's writing here as he kicks off 2 Corinthians in this letter to the Corinthians, we see three ways that Paul needed comfort and three ways that I believe we can find it and need it as well. The first reason that we need comfort is we need comfort because of we live in a place where we experience the overflow of Christ's sufferings. In verse 5, Paul says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives." That phrase is loaded. Because Paul is writing this letter. This is, many believe, probably the third letter that Paul has written. Obviously, the letter right before it, 1 Corinthians, but then there was a lost letter, and some even believe there was a letter before. There's some good evidence that there was a letter before 1 Corinthians. So this was likely the fourth letter that Paul is writing. And these have had different positions, different reasons for his writing, but the tone that we'll see in 2 Corinthians for Paul writing to this church in Corinth in southern Greece is because he is in this beat up position. Due to his ministry, he's been accused negatively of his character. People have been accusing him of being out for himself, of not really caring about others, of being harsh. Some have said, "Oh, there's other people who are better at ministry than you are, Paul." They've doubted that he really is an apostle of Jesus Christ, which is why he begins, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, by the will of God, not his will." Chapter 1, verse 1. And he's dealt with significant conflict. He's had to confront sin. 1 Corinthians, he confronts sin in the life of a man who had a sexual relationship with his, essentially his mother-in-law, and that has caused all kinds of conflict and grief that has blown back on Paul for having to deal with this issue of sin, both with that man and with others who have said, "Oh, that's just not right. Shouldn't be doing that. Don't mess with him." And we'll see that he's dealt with tons of physical persecution, tons of hardship, all because of the result of Jesus encountering him on the road to Damascus and saying, "Paul, Paul, you're coming with me." And his radical conversion and being sent to serve Jesus. See, so much of what Paul was dealing with was directly the result of being on mission and having relationship with Christ. See, sometimes we would like to have the idea that you follow Jesus and your life just is going to be peachy. It's going to be so wonderful. You're never going to have problems. It's just going to be the fix to all of your ills. The reality is, though there is extreme blessing, and let me just say, there is no better life than to live life with Jesus in relationship with him, both now and what we have to look forward to of being with our God forever and ever and ever when all things are made right after the return of Christ. Amen? There is no better life than life with and in Christ. But at the same time, that life in this time on earth is still, we have hardship because of following Jesus. Last week we talked about spiritual warfare, and the moment, and Dan talked about it this morning, the moment we step into this relationship with Jesus, we now have the target on our back from the enemy because we are with Christ. So we're in this war, we're in this battle, and so it's going to be hard. And Jesus even said in John chapter 15, he said, "If they persecuted me, if they treated me this way, then they're going to treat you this way." In other words, because you identify with me, all of these blessings of life in Christ are there, but you also are going to experience suffering that I experienced because you are with me. And so Paul is just pretty honest with them. And he's saying, yes, following Jesus brings blessing, but it also brings suffering, the overflow of the sufferings of Christ. And it's why we need his comfort. Because if we're experiencing the overflow of his sufferings, we need his comfort. A second reason why we need comfort. We need comfort from the beyond our ability situations. The beyond our ability situations. So how many of you have heard the phrase, "God will never give you more than you can handle"? I would love to say that that is an accurate statement. There are many who would believe that that's even a biblical statement. It is not a biblical statement. And right here in verses 8 and 9, we see Paul showing us that this is not a biblical statement. He says, verse 8, "We do not want you to be informed or uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, and I was able to handle it. It was well within my ability because God never gave me anything more than I could handle." Is that what it says? No. Which I encourage you to bring your own Bible so you can see that I'm not making stuff up here. And you can go, "Oh, so that wasn't right." "We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, our hearts," verse 9, we felt the sentence of death. Boy, Paul is in over his head. He is in over his head. He wanted the Corinthians to know just how far beyond his ability he was, even to the point of death. Friends, God will allow situations that are far beyond your ability. Whether they be because of following Jesus specifically, suffering for his name's sake, or whether it's just the stuff of a broken world, sickness, death, relational conflict, sin issues that, boy, it just seems like this thing is gonna get me. I really struggle to overcome this. Paul, even later in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, will say, "I had this thorn in the flesh," and some people believe it was some sort of sexual struggle. Some believe it was a blindness. We don't really know, but God allowed this thing in his life so that he would not rely on himself, Paul, but that he would rely on the Lord, so that he would find, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect," not in your strength, but "my power is made perfect in your weakness." But even in the midst of those beyond our ability situations, the Lord is there. And he is there to give us comfort. It's why we need it. A third and final one we see in this passage of the need for comfort, it's from those build reliance on God situations. How many of you have experienced situations where you know God was allowing it? He could have stopped it, but he was allowing it so that you might not rely on yourself, but on God. Second half of verse 9 says, "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us in your prayers." See, what Paul is saying is God did allow and God did give him more than he could handle. But it was so that he might rely on the Lord. The Lord will allow circumstances in our lives that are beyond us so that we can say, "That only happened because God did it. I'm only able to endure this because God is giving me strength. I'm only able to have peace and joy in the midst of it because the Lord is comforting me in the midst of this circumstance." Sometimes God will deliver us. He will deliver us completely from a situation we heard testimony. Other times he'll walk us through chemotherapy to get us there. Other times he may say that this is not intended. You're not going to experience healing on this side, but there's healing full and complete in heaven. But all through it, he allows these things so that we might build reliance on God. But in the midst of that reliance being built, it hurts, right? And we can say with Paul, "I despaired even to the point that I felt the sentence of death. And we need to be able to say those things, that this hurts. I don't want this. I wish that this was not my circumstance. Because when we do, we're able to be honest and we're able to come to the Lord and say, Lord, comfort me. Comfort me. So whether it's directly because of following Jesus, or it's just the result of living in a world that is broken because of sin and sickness and relational conflict and money hardship and all these things, there are going to be painful experiences. Jesus told us. Jesus experienced it. And Paul's life shows us that these are realities. But all throughout, the comfort of God is available. Which brings us to that place. We see the need for comfort, but now let's look at the means of comfort. Where does comfort come from? And we've talked about it already. It comes from God. It comes from God through Christ. Verse 3, so the first half of verse 4 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Verse 5 that we had read, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Paul praises the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. See, what he is saying as he praises God is he is making both a praise out of a true statement that God the Father is the source of compassion and he is the source of comfort. God is the God of all comfort, driven by his compassion and his love for us. For as we read at the beginning, he knows that we are but dust. He knows we are weak. And so in his compassion, he comforts. And just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also the comfort of God flows into our lives through the person of Jesus. Jesus ministers the comfort and the compassion of the Father to us by the ministry of the Spirit. All three at work. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, pours it out to us through Christ, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of God. He is the means of comfort. During my time in that first week in Tennessee, the Lord really used some specific truths in my life from Scripture to bring comfort. Things that I knew in my head, but he took from just knowledge and fresh applied them to my spirit, ministered to them to my soul. And he did it with such love, and he did it with such tender compassion that comfort flowed into my soul. He said these things, and maybe some of you, like me, need to hear these truths. He said, "I see you." Just as God saw Rahab in the wilderness and Hagar. Just as God saw Hagar in the wilderness and provided for her and Ishmael so that she would say, "He is the God who sees me." So in all the circumstances when I felt unsafe, when I felt alone, God said, "You weren't alone. I see you. I saw you." And then he said, "You are safe with me. There is protection. And even though bad things happen in this world, you are safe and in my arms of protection." He told me, thirdly, "I, Jesus, stand when you struggle." When Stephen in the book of Acts is being stoned for his confession of Christ, he sees heaven opened and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Only one other time in all of the New Testament. In all of the New Testament, it's Jesus, he is seated at the right hand of the Father because it is finished, Jesus declared. So he has sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but twice, once there and once Paul talks about it in a letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy, twice Jesus stands, and in both times it's when there is struggle. Jesus stands for you. He stands for me when we struggle. that he searches for you when you wander. There's something about pain that can lead us to want to kind of go off on our own. Not because we're turning our back on him necessarily, but because I just don't know what to do. I'm in such pain, I'm just going to wander around, and he searches for us when you wander. He sets a table for you in the presence of the wilderness. And forever, lastly, you are secure in Christ. We sang about that this morning. We are secure in Jesus. No matter what happens to us in this world, we are secure in Christ. And these words that I know deeply at an intellectual level and have experienced personally in the past, they were fresh to me. The Lord knew what I needed, and he comforted me through Jesus and his word by the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he brought great comfort and great healing to my soul. And I stand to give him thanks, to give him praise for the work that he's done. The means of comfort from God through Christ, but also from God through the comforted. The second half of verse 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 3, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God will also use others who have received his comfort to be the hands and feet and be the way in which Jesus brings his comfort to us. Because ultimately, receiving comfort is not the end. It's not, oh, I've got comfort now, I'm just going to go off on my own. Anything we receive from the Lord is to be given away. And so through Christ, by the Spirit, he will use people who have received the comfort of God to overflow into the lives of others. What's so interesting is those seven phrases that the Lord used in my life were a part of a seminar that I went to the week before at our Alliance General Council. And I wrote all those down, took notes on it, and they were meaningful, but it was just, I need to take the notes so I can take away from this seminar that I went to. But it was from a man by the name of Dr. Terry Wardle. He was speaking. And I really felt prompted to order a book that he wrote as well called Wounded, How to Find Inner Healing from Just the Things of Your Life that Have Come Through Christ. And so I got those and I went down. And as I began to be prompted to read that book, but also the Lord said, go visit those words. See, those words that Terry Wardle gave were the words that God used in my soul a week later or so. But what's interesting is for Dr. Terry Wardle, he was a man who, large church, was president of a seminary, really used of the Lord in a lot of ways, but he entered into this season of deep, deep depression. And for 6 months, he just kept going lower and lower and lower, and nothing that he did lifted him out of that season of depression. He got so low that he, with his wife's encouragement through others in his life, checked himself into a Christian psychiatric hospital, and for the next month went through intensive therapy, and over the next year walked on a journey out of that dark place of depression. And see, everything that he shared in that seminar and everything that he wrote in that book came out of the journey of how God comforted him, how God healed him, how God met him in his woundedness. You see, God will use the comfort that you receive in the life of another, and he will also use the comfort that others have received to comfort you at various times in your life. God, the God of all comfort, pours it in, but he will also use others to be able to bring comfort to us when we need it. God comforts us through his Son, and through people, so that we might comfort others in return. The need for comfort, the means of comfort, lastly, the purpose of comfort. Three purposes we see, and then we'll come to a place where we really want to receive from the Lord and be used of the Lord. First, purpose of comfort is to produce some patient endurance in us. We receive it that we might patiently endure. Verse 6 says this, if we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we endure. Distress for the comfort and salvation of others. Comfort for the comfort of others. All of these building a patient endurance in the face of suffering. Paul says that all of us, we share in the same sufferings, though they may be different in the way that they work out. At their base level, they are the same kinds of sufferings. They're unique to us, and they're specific to us, but they're the same core sufferings that all of humanity experiences, and all believers in Jesus experience. And it produces in us this patient endurance as we go through the hardships and we come to the Lord and receive his comfort. Patient endurance gets built. Rarely do we get patient endurance when life is easy. Patient endurance comes and is built as we walk through the difficulties of life and receive his comfort. Second purpose is that we might set our hope on the Lord. Second half of verse 10 says, or all of verse 10 says, but he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. After Paul declares that he has saved him, that he has delivered him from deadly peril, he declares that he has set his hope on the Lord. The comfort of God comes to him in the midst of the deliverance, and it convinces Paul of the goodness of God, of his delivering power, and even if he doesn't, of the comfort that he gives in the midst of it all. And it leads him to say, I am more convinced of other than ever before that he is my hope. In the hard times and the comfort that we receive convinces us of the worth of Jesus and of the comfort that he gives that satisfies in no other way. And lastly, its purpose is that it might cause us, and it might cause many, to give thanks to the Lord. Verse 11, as you help us in your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. As the Corinthians and others prayed for Paul, as he gives this testimony of deliverance and of the comfort of God, the response is praise to the Lord. I hope even in sharing how the Lord has comforted me, that what you hear is praise the Lord. And what it might stir in you is maybe I can experience that in this season that I'm going through, so that I might set my hope on the Lord, so that I might allow others to experience and give thanks to the Lord for the great and glorious things that he has done. God always has purpose for what we receive. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch watchmaker woman who during World War II, as the Nazis were taking the Jews and sending them to concentration camps where millions died, she, not a Jew, helped to hide Jews in her home in the attic. Wrote a book called The Hiding Place, where she chronicled how she helped to preserve the life of Jewish people from the Nazis. But eventually, over time, she was discovered, and those that she was hiding were discovered and sent to a concentration camp. While she made it out of that concentration camp alive, it was one of the most horrific things that she could ever describe for the world to understand what happened in those places. She was credited as saying this, as she would tour and speak. She would say this: "In the hands of God, the object of one's greatest pain could become the source of one's greatest blessing." Hear that again. In the hands of God, the object of one's greatest pain could become the source of one's greatest blessing. We don't think like that, do we? But yet, that's what Paul is saying. He is saying that as you receive the comfort of God in the midst of the hardship and the difficulties of life, it becomes a blessing in your life that then becomes a blessing for others, as out of the comfort that you receive, it flows out into the lives of others. You see, God can and will do things in your pain that he can only do in your pain. He will produce that perseverance and that character. But in the midst of it, he's not just like, get the hard stuff, get the work done. We're going to build Christ in you. We're going to build patient endurance. We're going to build all this stuff in you and be like, and now endure it on your own. No, he says, in the midst of it, the comfort of the God of all compassion and the God of all comfort is here for you. Don't just allow the work to be done, but receive the comfort to go along with it, that you might see that he is the God of all compassion and comfort. And then that it might be spilled over into the lives of others around you. The God of all comfort. So Dan's going to come and lead us here in a moment to in a closing song. But for some of you, this time of response will be just singing along with that, worshiping the Lord and declaring who he is and what he's done. For some of you here today, the hardships of life, whether it's those beyond your own circumstance kinds of things, those build reliance on the Lord things, or hey, you are in the midst of suffering because of Christ, whatever it is, and you're just feeling it right now. And what you need is the comfort of the Lord. Some of you are in that place today, and you're just like, God, you, the God of all, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, I need your comfort. I need it today. So some of you need it, and we want to provide opportunity for you to receive the comfort of God. Some of you have walked through some hard things in your life, and you're like, yeah, I get that. I've experienced his comfort. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I've known what it is to be comforted by the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I've received it. And man, it's helped me to be able to pray for others that they would have comfort. And you're in that place today. It's not necessarily a time where you're like, man, I just need this extra comfort. I really feel like God has done a work in me, and I want to be used of him to pray for others that they might have comforts. Some of you are in that spot. So I'm going to ask us in a moment to be willing to respond. One would be just to pray, to sing, and to worship along. But there may be others of you today who are saying, I need the comfort of God. And there are others who would say, I'm in a place right now where I've received it, and I know that he wants me to give it away. He wants me to be used of the Lord to pray for others. So I'm going to ask that we respond this way. One, if you are a person who you are saying right now, God, I thank you for the comfort that you've given to me, and I am willing to pray someone else would receive that comfort, would you stand?